Welcome to the podcast of Westminster Presbyterian Church in Greenwood, Mississippi. We are a community of Christians that exists to make disciples of Jesus Christ and influence the Delta for the glory of God. More information about Westminster can be found at www.wpcgreenwood.org.
All right, so today we're up in Ephesians chapter 6. And we're still looking at what Paul is teaching us, what the Spirit-filled life looks like. Last week we saw that the Spirit-filled life reaches into the most foundational relationships in our lives, that the Spirit-filled wife recognizes and submits to the authority of her husband as an act of obedience to Christ, that the Spirit-filled husband lays his life down for his wife. He's to provide for and protect materially and spiritually as his act of obedience to Christ. And so today we're going to see that children are to honor and obey their parents, that parents are to teach, discipline, and nurture their children according to the Lord's instruction. I know in it, I'll briefly speak to this. In the bulletin, it says we're looking at home and at work. We're just going to focus on the home. And next week, we're going to focus on the passage about spiritual warfare. And I'm not intentionally moving past that, what can sometimes be a difficult passage on slave masters and slaves, the work relationship there that Paul mentions. I did preach a series on Philemon that discusses that. And so if you want to go back and listen, I haven't listened to it in a while. I may be embarrassed by the things that I said there, but it's there for you. But I did want to say this. The Bible does not condone slavery. And the way that we can apply that text today deals with the work relationship. When we work as unto the Lord and not unto men. And if you were a boss and you're over people, you were to treat them with kindness and dignity and respect. And that's what Paul is getting to there. And so we're gonna focus on children and parents this morning. So let's pray and then we'll read. Lord, calm our minds and our hearts, please. Lord, help us to know that we have not come in here today to hear a TED Talk. We've come in here today to hear the Word of the living God. And so, Lord, we ask you to help us. We ask you to send your Spirit and pierce hearts of unbelievers. Lord, we ask you to be especially with children this morning, as you address them directly, be with parents and those that are raising children. Help us to do it to your glory. Be with those who desire children and have not been able, Lord, as this could be a difficult topic, or those that do not have children. Help them to see that we've all been called to help in some way. We've all made vows to help in some way to raise the covenant children here. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Christ, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. And so we see here in the text that the Spirit-filled life is a well-ordered family. That is a sign of the Spirit-filled life. The family was established by God. We know this, but you know, it's easy to move past this or not really think much about it. But God established the family with proper order. And so it's no surprise that Satan, one of his main areas of attack would be the family. That is one of his main areas of attack. He did it in the garden, and he continues to do it today. You know, many of you have remarked to me that Sunday mornings are sometimes the most difficult mornings for you as a family. I know it by experience. I know my wife knows it by experience. I mean, some of the most intense family struggles happen on the Lord's Day. You had a hard time getting here, and some of you, when you're here, you wish that you had just stayed home. And so I want to acknowledge that and know that I know that the struggle is real. The struggle is real, but we're not to give an inch to Satan, not one inch. God wants a well-ordered, worshiping family, and we're in an intense spiritual war, and Satan has his sights set on the most foundational relationships in our lives. He wants to create disorder where God has given us order. And so, you know, I think as we look at our own lives and we look at the cultural around us, I think we can confidently say that most of the societal ills that we see presently are downstream from a breakdown in the family. And so what does God want from us and for us? In verse 1, Paul starts by addressing the children. He starts by addressing the children and kids in here. I want you to understand how astonishing this is, that God would speak directly to you right here. In these first few verses, I mean, this includes boys and girls, all children. And back in these days, in the biblical days when this letter was written, children were on the periphery of society, especially little girls. You know, if a motto, I've heard this before, you know, people speaking of children, they go, you need to be seen, not heard. Well, back then it was, you need to be rarely seen and not heard. You think about the disciples that rebuked the parents for bringing the children to Jesus rebuked the disciples because they were rebuking the parents for bringing the kids to Jesus. Dr. Ball, S.M. Ball, he said this, in the ancient Greek world, little girls were generally sequestered from the public view except under very rigidly supervised circumstances until marriage, which occurred around 14 or so. That's mind-blowing too, but we need to know that the church is radically different from the culture. Children, you are wanted here. You're commanded to be here. Church isn't just for the old folks. God speaks to you through his word, and he expects you to pay attention and to hear his gospel promises and to believe them and to obey his commands. And he says to you, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long in the land. And so what we need to see in these verses, it is implied that children will be here in worship because they were going to be there where that letter was going to be read, right? So it's implied that children are to be in worship. It implies also, we see here, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This tells us that children of one or believing parents, or at least of one believing parent, children are actually members of the visible covenant community. You know, this is one of the verses among others that lead us in the Presbyterian world to administer the covenant sign of baptism to the children of believers. You know, you're to be present in worship. You are members of the visible covenant community. But this doesn't mean that all children are automatically saved. But you are members and you have certain privileges. You receive the covenant sign and seal. You receive instruction from God's word. You're taught the gospel. You're commanded to repent and believe. You're subject to the discipline of the church when you walk in stubborn rebellion. And so kids, youth, do not squander your privileges, what you have here. I mean, what a blessing. You will not see it now, but hopefully one day you will realize what a blessing it is for you to be raised in a Christian home. It's a blessing to gather with the brothers and sisters on the Lord's Day and to hear God's word preached and to pray to him and sing to him. And so kids, don't waste your privileges. Listen to what God says. He says you must obey your parents, and you know that's right. You know it's right. God tells it, he tells us in his word, he clearly commands it, and you know according to your conscience that you're to obey your parents. In Romans 1, when Paul is describing idolatry and all the wickedness that flows from rejecting God, he says to those people, those people, those idolaters, they're backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, and disobedient to parents. You think about that. In that list of all those horrible things, he ends it with, they're disobedient to parents. So, kids, I want you to know this. Do not think that your disobedience to your parents is a small thing. It is not. We see that, according to God's word, a disobedient son or daughter is wicked in the sight of God. Did you know this? You know, Israel, under the Old Covenant, in extreme cases of stubborn rebellion, the rebellious child was to be taken and stoned before the people. And thankfully, for I know me as a kid and many of you, thankfully, this penalty has been abrogated, but we can learn from the general equity of the practice that stubborn rebellion against authority is a vile sin against God. And then in verses 2 and 3, Paul connects the command back to the fifth commandment. He says, honor your father and mother that it may go well with you in the land. This commandment has a promise attached to it. And so we know as the Israelites and their kids went into the promised land, they were given these commands and they were to obey. And God says, obey your parents, honor your father and mother, and it will go well with you in the land. And so children, you're to show respect to your parents. You're to honor them, to obey them, to properly revere them and fear them because they're over you, given to you by God. You know, I know sometimes you think we want to rob your joy, that we're out to get you, that we're lame, right? We don't understand the whole 6-7 thing. We don't know what that means. But you've got to understand that your parents love you and care for you. We've lived longer than you. We've experienced some things. Of course, we're not perfect, but we're trying to lead you in a path of blessing because we love you and care for you. And you know, we're not in the promised land like the Israelites, but the general principle still stands. Obeying your parents generally leads to a peaceful and long life. But we do need to know this. It's not a guarantee. When we read the Proverbs and we see certain Proverbs about train a child up in the instruction of the Lord, and when he's older, he will not depart. That's a general principle, but it doesn't mean it's automatically going to happen. And just like this, he says, honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you in the land. It doesn't mean that all obedient children will live long. Dr. Ball said this, God does not promise all obedient children a long life today as though believers prolong their life on earth through the merit of good works. In a fallen world, even young obedient children die. And sometimes the most disobedient live a long life. But nevertheless, wisdom says that children who honor their parents typically avoid a lot of the issues that come from disobedience and bad choices. And so before we move on to the parents, I want kids just one more time, do you realize the seriousness of this sin? Has the Lord pricked your heart to show you your guilt in this area? I want you to stop comparing yourself to your classmates. Stop looking at other people and go, well, I'm better than so-and-so. I want you to think of your own heart, your heart, and know that the only way of escaping God's wrath is through faith in Jesus Christ, that you repent and believe the gospel because Jesus died for you. Jesus took on flesh and was born of a woman. He came as a baby and obeyed as a baby and a child. He obeyed his earthly parents. He obeyed his heavenly Father all throughout his earthly life. And then Jesus went to the cross for you, for your sins of rebellion. And he took your sins upon himself, and he took God's wrath. It was poured out on him as if he had disobeyed his whole life. That's how Jesus was treated on the cross for sinners. And so you have hope in Christ. Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day for your sins. And so children, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Rest in him. Rest in him and you'll be pardoned for all of your sin and you'll be accepted as righteous in his sight. And if you're a believer already, if you're a child who has faith, praise the Lord, you are pardoned, but God's law still applies as a rule for life. He says, honor your mother and father. And just like we did last week, before all the husbands nudge their wives, before all the parents start nudging your children, we need to go to what it says to us, the adults here. In verse 4, notice that Paul addresses who he addresses there. In verse 4, he says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We saw last week that fathers are the head of the household according to Christ's command and his design. God has given the father of the home God-given authority to lead the family. And here Paul says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not provoke them to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now we know this, fathers and mothers have authority in the household. Fathers and mothers have authority over the children, and mothers are like the house manager under the father's leadership. Mothers are not to provoke their children to anger, and mothers will be very engaged and involved in the training and admonition of the children, but we can't run past the verse. Fathers are the ones addressed here. Just like God came to Adam after the fall, here God comes to the head of the household. And he says, fathers, don't provoke your children. Dads, we're not merely just to work, to go out and work hard. We are to do that, but we aren't merely to do that. We go out and we work hard and we provide material things for our children and our families, but that's not it. You know, we don't check out when we get home. When we come home, we're not to provoke our children to wrath. How can this happen? Well, there's many ways that it can happen, but I'm thinking, you know, if I come home and I'm this tyrant, barking orders, expecting perfection, I will crush my children. And I've acted that way. God forgive me, please. I've acted that way. There have been times where I was talking to my children, I'm like, how could you do that? And the Lord pricked my heart and he goes, I mean, I didn't hear an audible voice, but it was like, you know exactly how he could do something like that. You would have done it. Doesn't make it right, but we need to be patient. Don't expect perfection. Sometimes I've treated my children as if they were 30 or 40. You need to know their frame, understand their frame. We can't set up an impossible standard for our kids that they can't live up to. If we do that, we'll break them. And so we need to know, you know, we need to think through this. Are we clear about what we're telling them to do? Do they understand our instruction? Is it fair? Is it biblical? Do they understand the assignment? If we aren't clear, or if we are too demanding, we will exasperate them. And maybe you're not too harsh, but you're too lax. And anything and everything goes because you don't want to rock the boat. You would rather just be your child's buddy and not their father. But that's another way to provoke them to anger. They need your guidance. They need your fatherly care and instruction. Paul says, don't provoke them to anger, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So men, fathers, we have a job to do outside of our work out in the world. training and admonition must take place because our children come into this world with a sinful heart that is bent on wickedness. And so this means that we're to teach them the commands of God so that God would reveal sin in their hearts, so that we can point them to Christ for salvation. And then we teach them the law as a guide for life. Fathers, it is mainly our job to disciple and discipline our children. You know, and I mentioned this in my prayer, we all do take vows when we join this church to say that we're going to help people, we're going to help raise these children in the instruction of the Lord. And so I am so thankful for all of you who have done that for us, who have helped us. I'm so thankful for all of you who have volunteered to help youth. Thank you. For all those who have helped the children, who are doing it now, who have done it before, your labor is not in vain. Thank you for that. But know this, youth group and children's ministry, those things are supplemental. Discipleship and discipline are primarily the parent's role, and within the parental structure, it's primarily the father's role. We disciple them with God's word and by our actions. Joel Beakey said this. He says, many a father has ruined a good sermon that came from his lips by a bad sermon that came from his life. And so we disciple them with God's word, and also we show them how to live. And that's what a disciple does. They walk around with the teacher and they see how they're to live. They hear the words, but they also see the actions. So we must properly instruct our children in God's ways and know God's word and apply it in our own lives if we want to do that. Not if we're commanded to do it, not just if we want to do that. And know, fathers, this is a costly endeavor. It takes time. It takes patience. There are going to be tears, maybe some blood, definitely some sweat. It takes courage and prayerful reliance upon God as He supplies you and promises to supply you with everything you need for life and godliness. When we disciple our children, we're not just aiming to impart knowledge, though that's a vital part of it. We're aiming for their hearts. We're aiming for their hearts. And so if we're going to do this, we have to know them. We got to know their desires and their temptations, and where Satan would seek to lead them astray, or where their own sinful hearts would lead them astray. We're to disciple them with God's word and with our actions. We're to aim for the heart. And as we're doing this, they need to know, your children need to know that they have your heart. You see that all throughout the Proverbs. The father says, son, give me your heart. And then you see throughout it that the father, he's given his heart to his son or his daughter. They need to know that you have their hearts, and they need to know, above all, that Christ has your heart. And so we disciple them with God's word and with our actions, and we're to discipline and admonish them. And discipline is not fun. If discipline is fun for you, you need more prayer. Discipline is not fun, but it's right. Discipline is not fun, but it's right. God's word tells us that if we withhold the rod of correction from our children, that is hatred. That's not what our world tells us. Our world tells us if you discipline, you hate your kids, or our kids, I know y'all don't like discipline, but God tells us that it's actually love to discipline you. Think about this. If you saw a blind man walking off a cliff and you didn't say anything, you didn't run and grab him from walking off that cliff, that's hatred. And in the same way, if we see you, children, walking in rebellion and we don't do anything to stop you, that is hatred. So we want to discipline in love. And we need, knowing this, we need to be careful when we discipline. We don't want to discipline is not an act of revenge, though we've treated it that way at times. Be careful not to discipline when you are enraged. Discipline needs to be controlled, and it needs to include loving instruction. It's not just our wrath being exercised and then kick them out of the room. There needs to be instruction. Discipline is a great opportunity for a gospel conversation because you get to talk to them about sin. And the only person that can save them from their sin is Christ. And so it's a gospel opportunity. And discipline is to produce the fruit of righteousness. And so you're praying for that. God, please produce fruit in their life. We can't manufacture it, but we are instruments in his hands to teach and admonish our children. You know, as parents, our discipline is following the lead of the Lord Jesus Christ. The author of Hebrews says this. He says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary when you are reproved by him, for the Lord disciplines him whom he loves, and he chastises every son that he loves." When the Lord disciplines us, it's in love. Even though it hurts and we don't like it, we should learn to love it because it means he loves us. In the same way, parents, we're to love our children and discipline them. Reproof is needed for children that they may abandon the negative and sinful practices that they naturally develop and that they would adopt and wisely discern how to live holy lives that please their Heavenly Father. And as a parent, or as parents, we need to remember the vertical relationship with God, I would say more so than we need to think about the horizontal relationship. Most of my sins committed as a father have come from being too focused on me. Too focused on me. I've been disrespected. I'm being inconvenienced. My kids have made me look bad. And this is not to be the focus. When we view our children as image bearers that must answer to God one day, it helps us to discipline them with patience and love. Know that their sin against you is ultimately sin against God. And you are not God. It also helps us to not focus on mere external moral conformity. That's not what we're going after. It's not enough. There needs to be a heart change. As I said earlier, we're going after the heart. And you cannot change your child's heart, but you can lead them to the one who can. You can do it. You can point them to Christ. Knowing this leads us to our knees in prayer, and it means the gospel is always ready on our lips as parents, and we need the gospel just as much as our children do. The gospel is the power of God for salvation for all of us. No other message can save you. No other message can save your children. Our teaching should always be pointing to Christ, and we should always be pointing one another to Christ. And then our lives are to show that we actually believe what we're teaching them. Our discipline shows that there are consequences for sin, but we need to know this: earthly consequences pale in comparison to the wrath of God that sinners will face in the judgment. And so, children, you must learn that you have God-ordained authoritative figures in your life. Your parents, for some of you, you've got grandparents, maybe an aunt or an uncle. You have authoritative figures in your life. And the more you fight against your parents, the more your heart will be hardened to God. Your disobedience to parents is actually your disobedience to your Heavenly Father. Don't go your own way. Don't rebel against that authority. Be humble and know that you need guidance. You need help. And know that there is forgiveness offered to you in Jesus. Parents, your children are not your own first and foremost, but they belong to the Lord. Remember that. And remember that you belong to the Lord. Our children are not trophies. They're not slaves. We're not living vicariously through them. Our children are image bearers. They have a soul that will live forever, either in heaven or in hell. And so we need to remember this as we order our lives, and we need to keep the main thing, which is Christ. You know, put them in the path of blessing. Bring them to worship. Worship with them in the home. And we all fall short in this. Don't beat yourself up. Just pick it up today. Do it today. Just a little time in the Word, prayer, something at the house. Put them in the path of blessing. Fathers, remember this. You are the prophet, priest, and king of your home. You don't have the official title. Jesus is the great prophet, priest, and king. But as a Christian and as a Christian man, a Christian husband, you are the prophet, priest, and king of your home. A prophet speaks the word of God to his people. You instruct and you correct. As a priest, you point them to the great high priest, Jesus, and you intercede for them in prayer. As a king, you rule the home with humility, exercising your authority for God's glory and for the good of the family. And as I say these things, I realize my own failures. And I know there's some in here who you realize your own failures and you may be despairing, but let this lead us to Christ. Our kids need to know that we need Jesus just as much as them. And though we've all failed in our parenting and as children, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Confess your sins to him and he is faithful and just to cleanse you of all of your sin. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so now we can freely pursue, children, you can freely pursue God-glorifying obedience, knowing that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And parents, you can freely pursue godly parenting, knowing that God is working in you and he will accomplish his will for you and for your children. Let's rely on him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our families. Thank you for the church family. We all have brothers and sisters in Christ, and so we thank you that you've given us people in our lives. We thank you that some of us may in here have never experienced a godly parent, but may that not... May they know that, Father, you are the good Father, even if we didn't have good earthly fathers or mothers, Lord, that you are the good Father, and we're not to project what's happened here back upon you, but we're to see where we are now, and we're to see your tender care for us now, and how you pursued us. And David even said, the mother and father forsake me, Lord, you will take me in. And so if there's people in here who have experienced that, Lord, help them to know that you've taken them in. But for those in here who are parents, Lord, help us to love and lead in a way that honors you and glorifies you, and help us to always remember Jesus and that we need his death for us and we need his help to walk in your ways. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand and sing Lamb of God as we close out.
Hi, Richard Owens here. I just wanted to take a second to say thank you for listening to the podcast of Westminster Presbyterian Church. Our prayer is that the Lord would use this message to encourage you in the gospel and that you would find Jesus to be more beautiful than you ever imagined. If you'd like to find out more about who Jesus is or more about our church, I invite you to visit our website at wpcgreenwood.org. God bless.